Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. As always, a big thank you to John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. They're our presenting sponsors. John and his firm, personal injury attorneys, they're bringing you soccer on the radio, both here in Houston and in Austin with Soccer Matters. You might drive an 18-wheeler, work in a refinery, car, boat, motorcycle accident, construction, refinery. If you get in an accident, the number to call is 713-322-HURT. Put it in your phone, 713-322-HURT. John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm. They are bilingual. It is DaspitLaw.com. Going on right now, the CONCACAF Champions League. We got results last night with Tigres, a brilliant performance against New York City FC, winning 4-0. Quality of goals off the charts there. Montreal was eliminated by Olympia. Tonight, two more games. And we'll get into those in a bit. Atlanta United, Club America, LAFC, and Cruz Azul tonight. And joining us, the ace writer, working, I believe, for CONCACAF, also Marca. And he's also seen as the analyst on Austin Bold USL broadcast. He is Arch Bell from Orlando. Arch, how are you?
I'm great, Glenn. It's so nice to be with you again.
It's always fun to have you on. We got a little crunched in that last Monday night show in Austin
No worries.
With the time constraints, but we got enough out of you. But I'm really interested to talk to you now with everything that's going on. First question is a simple one. You're in a pretty confined area. Just kind of describe to my listeners how it's working down in the bubble down there and kind of the convenience of everything in your setup and covering this tournament.
Yeah, it's a pretty straightforward setup down here in Orlando. All the teams are staying in the same hotel, which has actually made for some very, I guess you could say, funny or nice coincidences in which you see players of opposing teams, countrymen maybe visiting with each other, talking with each other. Romel Kyoto, the Honduran, former Houston Dynamo player who now plays for Montreal, he spent a lot of time visiting with his former Olympia teammates and countrymen. I think first and foremost, the best thing is that all the teams here, they've all tested negative for COVID. So all the teams have, they really, upon arrival in Orlando, they have not been affected by any positive cases for COVID. So I think that's a very positive, that's a very good thing for CONCACAF and for this tournament. And yeah, you have a press conference room here at the hotel where, you have the coaches and the players and they just simply walk in there. So it's a very simple, straightforward process. All the players and teams are adhering to the rules and staying within the hotel unless they're going to training or they're going to the stadium to play as they did last night. So it's been kind of nice to see all the acquaintances being renewed, Andre Pierre Gignac and Thierry Henry having a chance to visit. The Olympia coach, Pedro Troglio, I think he knows everybody here. So it's been really nice and fun to see all that.
He's Arch Bell covering the CONCACAF Champions League. It goes on again tonight. It's at Exploria Stadium in Orlando, Florida. Tonight you will get Atlanta United, who's down 3-0 on aggregate to Club America, LAFC, and Cruz Azul. All right. I noticed last night in the Tigres game, the quality of goals were off the charts. You and I talked about this before getting on. Mexican clubs, they – Tigres last night looked very ambitious, desirous to win this thing. I'm hearing the same when it comes to Club America, and I'm hearing the same, although there's a lot more unknown around Cruz Azul. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think the key point here, Glenn, is yes, Mexican teams have always dominated this competition. I think what's really important about this resumption of the CONCACAF Champions League is the fact that there's no conflict now with the Liga MX season. So maybe in previous instances, coaches like Tuca Ferretti and Miguel Herrera of Club America and other Mexican coaches have maybe refrained perhaps from playing like a full starting 11 in some of these CONCACAF games. Let's remember that 2 years ago, Andre Pierre Gignac didn't even play in this tournament until the final against Monterrey in the second leg of the final at that. So now you're talking about all these Mexican league teams. They have their full squads, full disposal, nothing to lose. And you can see that with Tigres. They, like you mentioned, they look fantastic. They're hungry. And for Tigres, this is muscle memory. You have so many of the same guys who have been in that club for years. That continuity with Gignac, Guido Pizarro, Hugo Alaya, Javier Aquino. And gosh, you saw that last night, just the way they move the ball around, that muscle memory. They know each other so well. So not surprised to see them display a strong performance last night against a New York City FC team that really had some difficulty. They were playing shorthanded because of COVID positive cases prior to arriving to Orlando. Always an uphill battle for them. And then we'll see tonight how it goes with Club America against Atlanta. Atlanta obviously down 3-0 on aggregate, so that's an uphill task for them in America. They'll be missing Henry Martin, who tested positive for COVID before arriving to Orlando, but still tons of weapons there. You know, they scored their leading goal scorer in the Liga MX season with 31 goals. They can really spread the wealth. So these, especially America and Tigres, you look at those two sides, and they're really coming in. I think they're really hungry to win this tournament.
Let's start with Atlanta United. They're down 3-0 on aggregate. Obviously, it's a chance to prove to people something here and simply look at this game maybe as solitary. You get the game's first goal, you may begin to believe.
Yeah.
But the talk of Gabriel Heinze coming to Atlanta United to be their coach, being in the hotel, being in the environment down there, have you heard anything on that? Because none of that has been confirmed, although it seems to be the best well-kept secret out there.
Yeah, I mean, and Carlos Bocanegra, I've seen him walking around the lobby and everything, and would love to be able to pick his brain on that, but haven't had a chance to do that. I think one thing that really did catch my attention, though, in yesterday's press conference with Stephen Glass, who's been serving as coach ever since Frank DeBoer left, is he said, you know, he's very frank about it. He said that a new coach is coming, and it's up to these players to show the new coach coming in that they want to be a part of this team in 2021. As you mentioned, all signs point toward Gabriel Heinze, great coach, great pedigree as a player and as a coach now in Argentina. And so while nothing has been, you know, no rumors or anything have been confirmed down here in Orlando, I think there's very much a sentiment of a lot of guys know that, you know, they might be playing for their position. They might be playing for their job in this game against America, and they need to be able to show something, to show an incoming staff that they can be part of Atlanta United in 2021.
Gabriel Heinze attached to Vélez Sarsfield, and of course the Manchester United fans and fans of the Premier League will remember him playing left back. So Arch, Saturday semifinal, it's either going to be after tonight's games, LAFC and Cruz Azul, Atlanta United, Club America, the winners of those two matches, Tigres and Olympia already set. The final will be December 22nd. The condensed nature of this tournament, mm-hmm. How has that affected the teams a little bit in your mind, outside of, you know, obviously having to reboot players and prepare them as it goes on?
Well, this whole one-off, this single elimination thing, I think this favors the non-Mexican teams. So I think for Olympia, they absolutely love this. They love the fact that it's a single elimination. I think what's interesting, I think the single elimination aspect or the neutral site aspect last night played against them because they weren't able to be at home in Honduras after playing the first leg in Montreal. But now in this semifinal against Tigres, a single elimination neutral site venue, I think is going to work a lot more in their favor because, you know, Glenn, as we've seen in the history of the CONCACAF Champions League, you can catch a Mexican team on a bad night, but it's not going to happen on two nights. You can get them maybe on 90 minutes, you can beat them, but to get them over the course of 180 minutes is just so hard. So I think Olympia will take that, and that'll provide a small boost. And, you know, Wild Tigres will definitely be a big favorite going into this. You know, I think Olympia and a coach like Pedro Troglio, who has a history of taking down giants back in Argentina, knocking out River, knocking out Boca in different tournaments down there, I think he'll certainly embrace the challenge. And we saw back in February, Tigres had their difficulties with Alianza of El Salvador in the first round, in the round of 16. So I think Olympia, they, you know, man for man, Tigres are better, but in a 90-minute neutral site with all those Olympia fans outside the stadium making tons of noise, and you could certainly hear them last night. There's hundreds of Olympia fans outside the stadium, but you could still hear them inside the stadium. It'll be really curious to see. Olympia's going to go for it, and it'll be curious to see how much damage they can do to Tigres.
You know what you just did, Arch? Here's what you just did. You just gave the Olympia team talk here live on ESPN 97.5 and Soccer Matters. If there was ever a more glowing team talk, and that was it. I mean, you just did it as the manager. There is a huge difference in talent there. So let's see what happens. December 22nd is the final. Do you know when FIFA is planning on trying to do the Club World Cup? Did they have any idea?
I believe, gosh, you know, with all the rescheduling and everything, with qualifiers and tournaments, it's hard to keep track. But I do think it is scheduled for early next year. I want to say January or February in Qatar in a bubble. And I believe that's the case. I don't know the exact dates off the top of my head. I will tell you this, that the Club World Cup is something that Tuca Ferretti, the Tigres coach, really wants to be in. He's never had a chance to do it. And, you know, obviously he's an older coach. And I think that's something that he really wants on his resume before he retires or before he leaves the game. So that Club World Cup, you know, is a dangling carrot for a lot of these teams. And also, I think another interesting aspect is the fact that we have two coaches in this tournament who could complete the career CONCACAF Gold Cup and CONCACAF Champions League double, Bob Bradley and Miguel Herrera. You know, two coaches who have won the Gold Cup with their respective national teams with the U.S. and Mexico, and now they could do it in the Champions League. No coach has ever done that. So there are some really interesting storylines going into that, whether – you know, Tuca Ferretti and Tigres can finally win it after failing in three previous finals, and you know, whether America can get back to that CONCACAF mountaintop, and whether an MLS team can finally get it done, or whether Olympia can shock the world and become the first Central American team to win the Champions League since its revised format in 08.
Oh, you forgot one. Major League Soccer would like to be there one day, and our hopes are on LAFC. Yes. Atlanta United, not as much hope, but I think, as obviously people that have been involved in Major League Soccer, we would love to see an MLS team finally win this thing,
sure,
and not get our proverbial you-know-whats kicked by Liga MX year in and year out.
Yeah,
you can. So that's it. That'll do it.
11, 12 years, MLS has always been the Fair Play Award winner in this tournament.
Yeah. Arch, as always, thank you so much. Enjoy the games tonight. Thanks for coming on the program. We really do appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Glenn.
All right, so you're getting it straight from Orlando, Florida there, from Arch Bell Exploria Stadium. By the way, as you know, in progress right now, Atlanta United and Club America coming up is LAFC and Cruz Azul. We'll take a quick break here. Quick word here, though, for Hugh O'Connor. 7620 Katy Freeway in the Marquee Entertainment Center, 18 TVs, big screens, Houston Liverpool supporters group out there. Get out there. We do have a limited amount of Soccer Matters mugs there. I think we're selling them for $10. You buy them, that's $10 that goes to the Snowdrop Foundation and Pediatric Cancer. Curing children's cancer is what it's all about. So again, you buy the mug for $10. All of the proceeds, courtesy of Soccer Matters, going to the Snowdrop Foundation, the great organization that has an eye on pediatric cancer. Also, a big thank you to Advantage BMW Midtown. Get down there. I've leased. I bought from them. Advantage BMW Midtown. That is the place to get in a X3, X5. You know, get in any type of vehicle you want. But it is the ultimate driving machine. Get down there. They'll take you through sales and service. And the service, by the way, next to... it's the best. I took my X5 all the way to New Jersey. 23-hour drive. Unbelievable ride up there. No pressure. Car smooth as could be. Perfect. All right, we'll take a break. We've got more to come.
This is Heisman Trophy winner Troy Smith, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5. Go Bucks.
I'm Jordi Tunier in Barcelona, and you're listening to Soccer Matters.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5 as we roll on here tonight. Thank you for tuning in. As always, as a reminder, the CONCACAF Champions League continues right now on FS2 and on TUDA/NA. Nibo Bandovic, you might remember him with the Houston Hotshots in the indoor game. Scored a lot of goals over at what was then the Summit. Well, he wants you to get on a journey to financial freedom through real estate investing. He finished his career. Nibo went on to build real estate and investing empire. He's got a $1 million portfolio. He wants to teach you how to do the same. You can follow him at Nibo Bandovic, B-A-N-D-O-V-I-C on Instagram. You'll get daily tips, secrets, more information on how to be mentored by the master himself through his VIP program. That's at Nibo Bandovic, N-E-B-O-B-A-N-D-O-V-I-C on Instagram. And also a big thank you, as always, to Advantage BMW Midtown for getting me in my vehicle, which on my ride back to New Jersey was just absolutely incredible over the course of 23 hours. Sometimes you find differing ways to get interviews, and this is a great one, and the way this occurred, and maybe people don't know this, but Juan Agudelo of Inter Miami, who has played for the U.S. national team as well, has been in Houston over the course of the last 8 years. He's got a wife and his family here. And he comes back in town to train, and we got this interview set up. So Juan Agudelo joins us now. Juan, thank you very much. It wasn't the most conventional way to get an interview, but we're glad to have you on this show.
Yeah. Hey, Glenn, how you doing? I'm happy to be here.
So we got New Jersey ties. Toms River, New Jersey, down by the ocean growing up. What was that like, and what was your first soccer experience?
Oh, yeah, it was special. I mean, I came over from Columbia when I was 8 years old. Straight into Toms River, played every single kind of sport in that area. Pretty accessible town to try, even ice hockey, all these things, baseball. And then started playing with a local team there, and then just basically took off from there.
Juan Agudelo, Inter Miami, joining us right now. Technically a free agent, doesn't mean he can't be re-signed by Inter Miami. He has played for the U.S. as well. Well, out of those other sports when you were in New Jersey, did any other ones outside of soccer appeal to you?
I really like basketball. I think I could have continued playing basketball. I was pretty good in my middle school. My high school coach was excited for me to go into ninth grade, but I decided to stick with soccer, and I went to St. Benedict's Prep in Newark just for soccer.
Yeah, big reputation there. So many national team players have come out of there, just like Juan St. Benedict's. 17 years old, you become a professional soccer player. Doesn't seem like it was that far or long ago, Juan. Can you kind of go back to that time period and what that was like? Because that's an awful lot for a 17-year-old to take on.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy. Happening so quick, I got invited to train with the first team through the Red Bulls Academy, one practice, and hearing a week later that they were interested in signing me as a second homegrown ever for the MLS. So that was pretty exciting. I think the Under 17 World Cup helped me out with that contract, but yeah, still to be a professional athlete at 17, it was awesome, and it was tough for my mom to convince her to get me to sign.
How did you do that? Was that you, or, well, I'm sure the Red Bulls had something to do with it too.
Oh no, I just had to. She was very into, you know, my studies, and I just had to tell her, like, Mom, I don't see anything else. I don't see me doing anything else in my life. Like, this is my purpose. If I want to make it over to Europe and big, nobody starts so late. I need to start now. So that was it.
Juan Agudelo joining us, Inter Miami. So you did get over to Europe. You signed with Stoke. You had the work permit issues there. You get loaned out to Utrecht in the Netherlands. Just tell me about the whole European experience, because that was tough when you had the opportunity to play at Stoke and then get moved on loan.
Yeah, so going over to Europe, pretty special thing. Obviously, work permit issues, very tough for foreign players without European passports to get accepted into labor there. So I had to go on loan, and pretty special stepping on the field, watching games in Europe ever since I was little, and stepping on the field and playing professionally, came on as a sub, and it was just a whole different feeling. The fans, I felt like, understood a little bit more of the game. They were clapping towards different things that you could tell it was more advanced, and tactically the players were also more advanced. Not too many errant passes and error crosses. So it was pretty exciting for me. But again, at the same time, it was pretty shocking experience for me, as in culture. So the culture was a bit shocking to me.
Why was the culture so difficult to adapt to, you think?
I think it was just, for me, the language, the food. I'm a very outgoing guy, and you know, when we have, you know, team dinners with the players, and you know, you want to be a part of it, but you can't because you don't know the language. So it's like tough to make friends, tough to do things like that. But again, the food, and I really liked here in the States where there was things to do after practice, and it wasn't always about soccer. So that was what was tough for me in Europe. It felt like it was just strictly soccer. And it got 10 times worse whenever an injury happened.
Yeah, it becomes a lonely place, right?
Yeah, for sure.
How about other interests? Because you just set me up perfectly to ask you, what are some of your other interests that you balance with, obviously, a full-time career as a high-level athlete?
Well, now that, you know, I'm a father of two, I love teaching my kids new things. Like recently I'm playing tennis with them. Pretty good sport for girls to get into, and I like it also. So playing tennis with them, working out, other things. Used to play video games, but now I'm like more grown now, and now I'm really into like stocks and investing and things like that. Yeah.
How old are your two daughters, Juan?
I have a 6-year-old and a 12-year-old.
Oh, nice. Got them spread out nice here. That's good. Juan Agudelo joining us. Inter Miami, played at, was signed by Stoke City, then went to Utrecht in the Netherlands as we continue talking here. So Inter Miami this year, I mean, you've been on a number of Major League Soccer teams, New England, the Red Bulls, Chivas USA. I mean, I remember calling tons of your games and seeing you score some great goals. What was the whole Inter Miami experience this year like? You know, I know it was a bit of a letdown not having fans as an expansion team because it was probably going to be so exciting. But just talk a little bit about the experiences, because it wasn't the easiest, I don't think.
Mm-hmm. No, it wasn't the easiest, as other expansion teams know and players that have experienced that. It's tough to go into a team and not know too many players, not have a relationship at all from the previous year. So it was, at a sense, it was pretty good to have everyone start from scratch, but you do need to have those kind of previous connections to feel comfortable and to connect on the field. They did everything right. The organization and the staff, I mean, they built a beautiful stadium. They got us accommodated very well, very smoothly. We were living great. Seemed everything seemed organized and the way that it should be. And then the season started kicking off, and the whole COVID experience took a lot of enthusiasm out of the whole Inter Miami situation, because the stadium was even rushed to get ready for this first home game that was supposed to be one of the most watched games in MLS history. I believe it was against the Galaxy. And then 2 days before that, we got to walk off the field, and the league is suspended for a certain time. So that kind of blew a lot of a wind off the sails. at the beginning of the season.
Juan, take me back to your first ever national team goal. Take us through it.
Oh, okay.
Don't tell me you forgot that.
No, you never forget that. That's set up my whole life. So I got a call, got an email from Bob Bradley saying he would like me to come into South Africa game with the full national team. And that was pretty shocking just to be called there. I was like, okay, I'm going there and I'm not going to play. I'm just going to be there, maybe train with the team, but I'm definitely not going to get minutes in my mind. And then game time comes, I'm on the bench and I'm thinking again, okay, I'm on the bench. I made it to the 18-man roster, but I'm not going to play, right? Then I'm told to warm up, and I'm thinking, okay, I'm warming up. Looks cool, but obviously I'm not going to go in the game. And then I hear my number being called out, and I'm going into the game. The game's 0-0, and these are the kind of games you want to go into as a forward. So I go into the game, and I pick up the ball, play a through ball, makes this group, plays the ball back to me, and I score, and blacked out after that pretty much. And then after the game, couldn't even tell you how the next 5 minutes during the game, but then started to settle down. And then after the game, I was told I was the youngest player to ever score for the U.S. national team.
That was November 17th, 2010. I just took a look at it here while you were describing it to remind myself, because I remember watching it on TV and powering into the box. And it's a fantastic goal. And, it was this moment where it was the outside of your right foot, right?
Yeah, outside of my right foot, off the crossbar and –
Yeah, it had a lot of wow factor to it because it hit the underside of the crossbar too with the outside of your right foot, though. Juan, I just want to thank you very much for coming on tonight. Enjoyed the discussion with you. I want to wish you the best of luck. We'll, whether it's back with Inter Miami or another team in Major League Soccer, you know, being on this show tonight, there's going to be rumors to Juan Agudelo coming to the Houston Dynamo. You do know that, right?
Yes, I'm well aware, well aware.
Well, thank you for ginning it up down here in Houston. I've enjoyed watching your career. Keep it up. I'm sure we'll see one of your daughters on the tennis circuit too one day.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. All right, Glenn. Thank you so much for having me. It was fun.
I really enjoyed the conversation. We'll do it again. We can go another segment one day in the future. Thanks for coming on the program.
Sure, no problem.
All right, that's Juan Agudelo right now, Inter Miami. He is available. He could re-sign there. He is a free agent. Juan Agudelo, a tremendously talented forward. You know him from the New York Red Bulls, Chivas USA, and, of course, the New England Revolution as well. We'll take a break here. The break is brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com here in Houston, DaspitLawAustin.com in Austin, Texas. John and his firm, personal injury attorneys, they get soccer on the radio. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We got more to come. On the floor, been
dreaming of the payoff. ESPN 97.5.
Join us at the Humble Gun Show this weekend only at the Humble Civic Center. Shop over 300 tables of guns, knives, ammo, and shooting supplies. Come and buy, sell, or trade. Whether you're a first-time buyer or looking for that special piece to add to your gun, knife, ammo, or militaria collection, we have what you're looking for. Visit our website, humblegunshow.com, or call 817-732-1194. Come Saturday 9 to 5 and Sunday 10 to 4. Plenty of free parking available. The Humble Gun Show at the Humble Civic Center this weekend only. Don't miss this show.
Hey, soccer fans, a moment here for our presenting sponsor, John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. Now, John and his firm are personal injury attorneys. They're going to bring you a personalized approach. It's DaspitLaw.com, 713-322-HURT. Now, they're bilingual. You might get in a car accident, motorcycle, industrial, construction, plant, refinery, 18-wheeler. The Daspit Law Firm has you covered and will work for you 24-7, nights and weekends. Get the representation you need at the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. Proud sponsor of Soccer Matters.
If you have unfiled taxes or are in debt to the IRS, this is important news. The IRS just rolled out a new program to help struggling taxpayers more easily resolve their tax problems. It's called the Taxpayer Relief Initiative, and it opens up powerful new options for people looking to get back on the right track with the IRS. And no one knows this program like the professionals at Optima Tax Relief, America's most trusted tax resolution company. They've resolved over $1 billion in tax debt for their clients and have the expertise and experience to help you. One easy call to Optima can start the process, helping to put an end to your worries of wage garnishment, asset seizure, and other aggressive IRS actions. Make today the beginning of your fresh start with the IRS. Call the experts at Optima Tax Relief now for your free confidential consultation.
Call 800-845-8122. 800-845-8122. 800-845-8122.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
After years of working with an outdated website, we called SiteJab. Got a great-looking website that converts visitors into leads. Hi, my name's Servando with Air Team Heating and Cooling. Your website's one of the most important features of your business. That's why you should call our web team at SiteJab to get your website. Not only are they based here in Houston, but they have a great customer service process. If you're in the market for a new website, trust me, you want to give SiteJab a call today.
Call SiteJab today for a website you can count on. 713-999-4661 or sitejab.com.
Danish Inspirations, timeless contemporary furniture since 1982. Our invitation is for you to come in and sit down in a stressless leather recliner and sofa. Probably the most comfortable seating in the world. A great way to watch a great soccer game. Go to danishinspirations.com and stressless.com to fulfill your comfort goals.
Danish Inspirations.
Patrick Creighton for 5 Under Golf Center, Southeast Texas' premier entertainment venue. Tuesday is Taco Tuesday. Enjoy $2 tacos and $4 margaritas. And on Wine Down Wednesday, get $10 pizzas all day long and $10 select bottles of wine from 5:30 to 8:30 p.m. Plus, happy hours always 4 to 7 at 5 Under Golf Center, College Street in Beaumont, just a quarter mile north of I-10. Make your reservations today at 5undergolf.com. That's 5undergolf.com.
A smart guy once said, if you fail to plan, you're planning to fail. John Granato here. I'm a prolific planner, one of the all-time best planners. But enough about me. You, on the other hand, need to plan early, before the holidays, and order your basketball goal from Pro Dunk Hoops. You might want their fully portable Bear model, or perhaps the Pro Dunk Gold model, professionally installed on your driveway. Go to ProDunkHoops.com to order your goal today. It's the perfect plan. ProDunkHoops.com. That's ProDunkHoops.com.
A family fights for survival as a planet-killing comet races to Earth. Amid terrifying news accounts of cities around the world being leveled by the comet's fragments, the Garrity family experiences the best and worst in humanity while they battle the increasing panic and lawlessness surrounding them. As the countdown to global apocalypse approaches zero, their incredible trek culminates in a desperate and last-minute flight to a possible safe haven. Listen all week for your chance to see Greenland from your own home and a $100 Uber Eats gift card.
College football is on ESPN 97.5.
Rolls down the right side. He's got a man caught at the 30, 25, 20, 15, 10. Smith again. Touchdown, Alabama.
The SEC Championship, Alabama, Florida.
It's going to take every part of our team to be able to win the SEC Championship.
You know, I think we can play with anybody in the country if we're playing at our best.
Saturday at 6:30 on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams 4th of July sale and get 30% off paints and stains June 26th through July 6th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only, some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
I'm Tyler Adams, and you are listening to Soccer Matters with Glenn Davis on ESPN 97.5.
All right, Austin FC has been in the news as we welcome you back to Soccer Matters presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. A lot going on up there with both official trades that they have made, plus their expansion draft choices. This next segment is brought to you by BMW. I've driven one for years. I've leased, I've bought from Advantage BMW. Now, I love the drive of the vehicle. It's like no other. I have a 5 Series. I took it 23 hours to New Jersey. I absolutely love it. But I love other things. And one of the things I love at Advantage BMW Midtown is the customer service. It's second to none. Advantage BMW Midtown will cover you in sales, service, finance. It can be done so easy. Get in a 3, 5, or 7 Series. Get in an X5 if you want. Like I did, I can throw the bike in the back. Hometown Advantage, you get it at Advantage BMW Midtown. And now to talk about the official trades. Nick Lima, John Gallagher, Julio Cascante, Ben Sweat, Ulysses Segura of Austin FC. To give us a sense of what's going on up there as they build a team, as they will be competitors with the Houston Dynamo, it is their head coach, Josh Wolf. Josh, thanks for coming on tonight.
You bet. My pleasure as always. Good speaking with you, Glenn.
Yeah, I'm honored that you're able to come on during what is probably an incredibly hectic time. I'm not thinking you're doing a lot of sleeping these days.
No, I think it's, again, there's been a lot of work done leading up to this moment, to tomorrow. So, I mean, the preparation's been ongoing. It's been in place. You have a lot of discussion with the other staff members. You bring in your high-performance folks. You bring in your sports science and data. So it really brings you closer together as a group and allows you to really focus on the details and the specificity behind what we're trying to do here with how we're building the club, the types of players we're bringing in, but also just our process by which we work. So it's a good process. It has some stress to it. It has some excitement to it, but it's starting to pay dividends, and we're starting to put a team together, and that's the most important thing, is putting a team that Austin's going to be proud of, be inspired by, and look forward to coming out to each and every week.
He's the head coach of Austin FC, Josh Wolf, and we're real fortunate to get him on here tonight with so much going on, including tomorrow's expansion draft. All right, so the club makes their first official trades. You use, according to reports I saw, $1.175 million in general allocation money. Nick Lima, John Gallagher, Julio Cascante, Ben Sweat, Ulysses Segura. Let's start with Nick Lima. Boy, that's a good one to start with, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. I think Nick's shown a real progression in the league. He's obviously played over 100 games in 4 years. So quickly he got up to speed and inundated with the league coming from college. And so in doing that, he got 9 opportunities with the national team. So you've seen a good progression. We see a lot of quality in what he does at both ends of the field. And he's a superhuman being. Obviously, I got to work with him with the national team last year. But when you watch him week in and week out, he's a grinder. He's a fighter. He covers a ton of ground. They asked him to do a lot as the way that they defended in San Jose, and he lived up to it. I mean, he's a warrior. And when we think of what we're going to try to do with our fullbacks as far as their input and their productivity in the attack is going to be really important as well. So I think what I saw with Nick being around him last year with the national team was there's more there offensively than probably at first thought, with his crossing, with his ability to get to the end line, and also to score goals. So I think we got a very good player at a great age and with a real good amount of experience in a short time.
Josh, let's go to John Gallagher, Atlanta United. Now, I know this is a young man that played at Atlanta United too. They kind of converted him to an outside back. Seems to be a lot of versatility with this young man.
Yeah, I think John's interesting. He's, again, and I'll highlight Ben as well. Not all players come in from college and translate right away to the league. And I think John's been one of those cases where he came in, he got some time with Atlanta United too, had a little bit of success, you know, you make the transition from college to pros. And it's a bit of a stair step. Went to Aberdeen, saw some time. And what he did was he seized the opportunity when Atlanta United brought him in this year. Right away, he was able to make an impact. And you mentioned his versatility. Obviously, they played him as left wing, right wing, forward, outside right back, wing back. So we like the idea that he has versatility, but what we really like is his quality in and around the final third. I think he showed a real dynamic getting forward. His running off the ball is good. He gets two positions around goal, and he finishes off opportunities. And I think that's, you know, something for us. That's a very good starting point. And as we bring him into our environment and our game model, we think we can help make him better as well.
Had 39 goals at Notre Dame. Let's go to Julio Cascante, who played at Saprissa in Costa Rica. This is an interesting one as well.
Yeah, I think Julio is one of those players that, again, we know what it's like to play in Costa Rica. We've played against Costa Rican clubs in Saprissa, the pressure, the physicality. So he comes with a real good pedigree from where he comes from and the type of soccer that he plays. Played 45, 48 games with Portland. Majority of those games were in 2018 and 2019. So, Portland's a club that has great success, a pretty consistently strong team in our league, and he saw significant minutes this last year, not so much. But, when we peel back the layers and we see what the player looks like as far as his technical components, his ability to bring the ball into the attack, to initiate attacks, to bypass pressure, I think that's something that intrigued us. And then he has good size, good physicality to deal with, defending the penalty box and obviously brings a level of physicality that we're going to need. Our league is difficult. It's transition, and there's a lot of dueling going on throughout the game. So I think he'll give us a little bit of balance in that as well.
Grateful to have on Josh Wolf tonight here on the Horn in Austin, Texas. Soccer Matters brought to you by DaspitLawAustin.com. Josh, left backs are always difficult to find. Inter Miami's Ben Sweat, you acquired him.
Yeah, I think Ben's someone that we drafted from Columbus, so we saw enough talent there back in 2014. And similar to John Gallagher, we weren't able to provide games, or we didn't have an MLS an affiliate at the time, so it was challenging for him to develop and get the game. So credit to him, he went down a league and saw minutes over the next 2 years that raised his level and certainly helped in his development. And then I think when he joined NYC, you saw a real uptick in the player's ability. And obviously the coaching with Patrick Vieira and the way that they played obviously enhanced his qualities. And Claudio's familiar with him. I'm familiar with him. And he's very excited to come. And again, you said left-footed fullback, left-footed side center back. He's even played as a left back. So, again, a pretty well-represented left-sided player and good experience at a good level with New York City, and has provided a lot of upside for that organization, and obviously he got to go down to Miami and experience what it felt to be like an expansion team. So he'll bring those experiences to us as well and hopefully help our players as well as our staff.
Well, tremendous information here we're getting straight from Josh Wolf, the coach of Austin FC. We'll go to DC United's Ulysses Segura, who you also picked up.
Yeah, Ulysses is he's probably the most flexible player, or at least he's been utilized in a lot of ways. Speaking with Nolan, speaking with Ben Olsen, he's a player that we knew from previously as well. Playing in Costa Rica at a high level, obviously played for the national team as well. So we get a player at a good age that's been in our league and has a good understanding of what it looks like. And for us, it's trying to give a little more specificity to what we will want our game to look like and how he can influence that. And we'll try to be pretty consistent with his positioning, even though he has played, again, a number of spots, winger, attacking mid, forward, outside back. But we like him in the middle of the field. Good physicality, really secure on the ball, and I think his ability to go box to box, but more importantly, to arrive in the final third and in and around the boxes is something that we want to encourage and try to define for him a little bit better. But super sweet kid, and again, he's extremely excited about the opportunities here in Austin.
Former Saprissa player as well. We're speaking to Josh Wolf, the head coach of Austin FC. So, Josh, when you're in the war room, take us in there a little bit, because, we're envisioning all this extra work that's being done to monitor these players. You were talking about high-performance people. How do you get a consensus as to, yes, we're going to go with this guy? What if it's a split decision with everybody in the room? Who has the final say? How does that all work?
Well, I think it's a great collaboration, and I think it starts with having an idea of how you want to play and what you think these players' attributes need to be to fit the profile of the positions that we're trying to talk about and discuss. And I think that's the starting point. And from there, we get dialogue with amongst the coaches. And some coaches had experience with the player, and Claudio has his experience as a sports director. And Davey and I, obviously, we've been around some of these players more recently, even some of them as players, but certainly more as coaches, and you use all this to kind of create a real assessment of what you're seeing. And then you bring in high performance as well, and you start to see the physical side and the statistical side from the performance as well as the physical. And that helps maybe not make the decision, but it helps give you the best information to make the best educated decision. So it's a lot. We were in our war room of sorts since about 8:30 this morning. So we're still at the office right now, and we're going to go have a meal together, which is nice. But it takes a lot of certainly a lot of collaboration, and you don't agree on everything. But you get to a place where you feel like you're making the right decisions for the organization.
Josh Wolf, Austin FC head coach, joining us. How about the expansion draft tomorrow? When you go into something like this, what is the aim? A squad player, positional? someone with versatility? How does that work?
I think a bit of both. I think, you're looking for balance around the field and, certainly value with some players. And the latter part of the day, we started fielding calls from other teams about opportunities for us to trade or to sign and trade. So you start to put those things into place and find what's most important for us and put it on the board. And you make a decision based on that. But, I think first and foremost, we're looking for quality players. We need players, so we're going into it. We want five players. And if there's other options or better options that come along, we'll evaluate that. And again, it's about making the best decision for the club that's going to put us in a place to come and compete straight away in 2021, but also give us the flexibility or at least the ability to make decisions along the way as well.
Josh, you said you want five players. That doesn't necessarily mean you're going to take five players, does it?
No, I mean, I think it's you got to give yourself that opportunity. There's enough players on that expansion list that we can certainly select five players and feel really good about it. And we've already made, certainly we've got our list drawn out already that allows us to do that. And the point about the rest of the league or teams in the league is that, they also look at that expansion list and see players of opportunity, of value, of experience, or qualities that fit their game model. So we obviously have to be open-minded to what makes sense for us in player selection or, getting some value for some players.
A couple more quick minutes here with Josh Wolf of Austin FC, the head coach, and we really appreciate this. This is wonderful stuff ahead of the expansion draft. All right, let's talk about foreign players. I mean, obviously, you're still in the market for foreign players. I'm sure the pandemic has made that a little bit different, but you do have a scout based out of Poland, if I'm correct, in Manuel Junco. Tell us a little bit about, if we're going to see more foreign signings and kind of how that's working now with the pandemic.
Yeah, it's. I think the pandemic has obviously affected the international scouting, but Manuel's a tremendous asset for us, and his contacts globally allow us to feel very comfortable about what we're trying to build here, the players that we're looking to bring in, and when we do have questions or when we do identify talent that we want to go after, he's able to get real intimate detail, not just about contract and about money, but also in pertinent information about the players' background and environment. So we're in for a couple more players right now internationally as well. So that's all part of the puzzle. That's what makes this these days literally from 8 to 8, because you are trying to make sure you're thinking about all of these different mechanisms that by which we're going to acquire players. We're going from two players to about 24 players in a quick amount of time. But you need to coordinate those ideas and certainly the contracts and the types of players that you're bringing in. But we're excited with a couple of the opportunities that we have in the international market right now. And if we can get them across the finish line, they'll be players that will certainly make our fans excited.
Rosters in the league, 25 to 30 players. How many of these players over the breadth of the roster have to be capable of playing multiple positions? Is there some magic number there?
No, I don't think there's a magic number. I think you like players that have some versatility. I think you look and see what's going on here at the end of the year and the players that are playing. It's a long season, and with COVID or not with COVID, it's difficult. So you need depth. You need players that can can adjust to what the game calls for. And sometimes you get that with a player that can do it in game. And sometimes you need to step to the bench and try to bring something new to the game. So I think ideally you want some guys that have some some versatility as far as if they can play outside or inside or play attackers that can play in the back. But we evaluate that. But first and foremost, we're trying to find people that are extremely qualified, extremely talented, and can play the one position really well. And then if they add a little bit of qualities in other ways, then that's a bonus for us.
I know this may be putting the cart before the horse here, but reserve team and under 23 league, is there any more clarity to that and how that will work with Austin FC in the first year? Because that's a necessary ingredient, obviously.
Yeah, I think so. I think you see in the league there is, some clubs or a lot of clubs have a real thirst to ensure that they have the support of their USL team or their MLS2 team. And I think that direction from the league is very clear. We're focusing right now on building our first team. We will have and continue to have discussions about an MLS2 team or a partnership next year. But I think in the short term for myself and for what we're building, it's all eyes are on this player acquisition process here in the next 2 weeks. And we're excited. It's coming together. It's fun to see players now on the website and obviously being distributed. And it's just a nice thing. It's been a long time coming, and I've been in Austin since January. So we're almost there. We almost got 11 players, but slowly but surely we're going to get there.
All right, last one, and I'm going to let you go because I know it's been a long day, and you've been more than generous with your time. Some thoughts on the new jersey, because I think it's wonderful. I think it's an amazing jersey.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. I love the color. I love the texture. Again, I think it is what you feel Austin is. It's strong. It's authentic to who is in this community, and I think it reflects a bit of what we're building here with the organization, with the stadium, with the training center. It embraces a community that's up for the challenges, is up for the work, and is genuinely excited about bringing in their first professional team. And you know, the jersey sales, the all of our sales for all of our apparel is through the roof. The ticketing sales here in with the stadium, with our season tickets, and it's just been tremendous. The support has been, you know, overwhelming. And you know, the stadium's coming along. It's going to be done hopefully when we know the season's going to start, but it should be done sometime March or April next year. And you know, I think it's also going to be a great you know, a great attraction for the fans, with the players, and something that everyone here in Austin is going to be proud of. But the jerseys are beautiful. I think they're fantastic.
Well, Josh, listen, best of luck tomorrow in the expansion draft. We're looking forward to see who you select in that, and also a tremendous spokesperson for the club, I have to say. So thank you very much for giving us time tonight on the show.
My pleasure, as always. Thanks, Glenn.
Let's not forget, three MLS teams in the state of Texas in 2021. Things are going to get stirred up a little bit with Austin FC heading into Major League Soccer. I'd love for you to go over to glendavissoccer.com. You can get the podcast of this show. You can find some other things out if you want to know a little bit more about the host of this program. Also, Twitter, Glenn Davis Sock, Facebook, Soccer Matters, Instagram, Glenn Davis Sock. And then also, as always, Aaron Raybould, a big thanks for his producing, contributing always to this show in a big way, Victor Ariza. And to you for listening in. Podcasts at podcastarena.com, Spotify, iTunes. You can catch the podcast there. And as always, we appreciate you hitting up the podcasts and also supporting our great sponsors, Danish Inspirations Contemporary Furniture, Advantage BMW Midtown, Hugh O'Connor's, NB Elite Realty, and of course, our presenting sponsor, John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. On behalf of the firm, I'm Glenn Davis. Good night, everyone.
ESPN 97.5.